while since we've been here. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Chaplain Mike Monorig. I am currently a chaplain and stationed here in Little Creek. But 10 and a half years ago, we originally moved here to be stationed at the Naval Air Station, and this is the first church we visited back then in August of 2008. Since then, we've done a lot of other churches. We currently are Virginia Beach Church. They're sharing your pastor. Actually, I was the one who tried stealing your pastor, so sorry. But we needed a good pastor, too. And I was getting tired of doing double duty, being a Navy chaplain and pastoring a church. So, you know, so self-protection as well. I wanted to share some things today with you as we talked about Pathfinders. First, as Dan said, why are we dressed in this? And I wanted to give a little bit of history before I got deep into the sermon. So in the 1920s, a little bit earlier, about 1900s, early 1900s, our church started this thing called Junior Ministries. And the idea was to get our young people involved in the gospel and how we taught it. But around the 1920s, it was just two big organizations, especially one of them called the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts, who were very popular at the time. And they had the one thing that we didn't have. They had the outdoor things, these skills things that we weren't really attaching into what we had, our curriculum that we had at the time. And so two pastors from the California area decided that there was a way for us to keep our church core values, who we are, identity, and still bring in some of these great skills that the Cub Scouts and were doing at the time and the Boy Scouts. And they started their first club. They actually called it Missionary Scouts. And that's sort of where we started. Eventually, they moved and they moved on and somebody else took it. And somewhere around the 1940s, their church said, this is a really good idea. And so around late 1940s, we started, you know, as Pathfinders. And so the idea of having a club-like, which enhances not just our spiritual upbringing, but also helps parents at the adventurer level to teach parents, hey, how do we go? Parenting is tough enough, right? There's no manual. No, we didn't get a manual for parenting. And we kind of OJT, right? Lessons learned, hopefully not our own, but somebody else's. And then we discovered that if you have more than one child, they're not all the same. And so there's no cookie cutter answer to it. And so they said, hey, we need to have an adventure club, somewhere where we can help parents in the journey as not just growing kids, but growing kids for Christ, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, theory. And so hence our clubs. At the Pathfinder level, it's a little bit more directed with the staff and helping parents from the outside to prepare our young people to be the group that grows up to eventually take the reins of the church. And what I mean eventually is at some place we got to start training them. So at the age of 10, we start giving the skills. And somewhere around they get to high school, the Pathfinder curriculum has it so that they can start developing skills. So that guess what? They can be the leaders in the local church. They can take the positions in the church. And so that's why we exist as a club. And we started way back then. And it took some time. And like every change, it was tough. It was, you know, do I do this or do I not? But here we are today. The camperee that Dan talked about back in 04 when I went, 30,000 people there. And we actually don't get more people, mainly because we are restricted by space. Oshkosh was picked because it's an airfield and it had extra space to put people in, and we've tried different places. We started, actually Colorado was the first place, and we go there because it's the one place we can bring somewhere like 50,000 Pathfinders and adventurers, both children and adults, and a camperee, which is another term from the scouting side, to bring them all together in a week-long event where not only they get to do the honors and the specialties, but we're also they get to see that their Christian journey is not alone, that they get to do it with others, and that there are other people around the world who do it, right? Other places around the world, some of you have been around long and heard about medical cadets and some of these other things. In some places in the country, we've adjusted our Pathfinders because of our uniform looks different, because we don't want it to be confused with the military of the local country and those things. But the basics of it is that we're teaching our young people how to love Christ and be an important part of the community by doing community service. Some of our Pathfinder clubs during disaster times have been the primary churches, especially some of the our other countries, who have been able to do resources because of our training, because already our group and what we know, some of the skills to help out. So this is why we're here today. We're here today because we as a club belong to the area, and we wanted to tell our church, all of our churches, that hey, we are here to help you in your youth ministry, that you are not alone, that this is part of what we do. This is an extension of the church's youth ministry. This is not a thing on its own, the same way that our school is not an entity on its own. It is to partner with schools, with parents, to help in this challenging time to raise our kids. Right? We, as a Christian, as a TAA in our academy, and Audrey as our school board chair could tell you, our job is not to do the parents' job. Our job is to help you, give you an ability to what? To say that you're putting your kids in a Christian environment to help them give the skills that they need to do to grow up in God's way. And so that's why we're here today. I've had the privilege of being in Pathfinder for most of my church career. I did not grow up in the church, and I'll go a little bit into that. I had gotten out of the Navy. I was enlisted. I enlisted back in 1990, and I got out, and I had my D-214. I was a reservist, and I started going to this church. I got an invitation to go to this church. I didn't know what Seventh-day Adventists were. Matter of fact, when they told me that they go to church on Saturday, I thought, you guys are crazy. But in order to get this person from giving me a hard time about going to church, I said, okay, I will go. Now leave me alone. And little by little, I got more involved. And this was the summer of 95. All these years later, I am still here. But they, hey, we have this great thing called Pathfinders. Like, oh, wait, what is that? Well, this is why they explained it to me. And you're in the military, so you should be able to help, especially with the marching. I said, you must have understood my testimony. I came from the Navy. Those of you who wear the Navy blue know that we don't march. Ain't not a lot of room to march on a ship. So I can help you in other ways, but the marching, mm-mm. I got to be Dan what we did marching in boot camp, maybe a little bit later. Dan didn't even do that when he came straight in the officer program. So, you know, that was it. But I got involved, and it was the first ministry that I, the new person, came to see. And what it showed me was that there's a value to our young people. And I know sometimes we don't see it, but our church puts a huge emphasis in valuing our young people. And so I want to tell you that God has a plan for you. It has a plan for our young people. So today, as we present, as we talk here for a little bit, I want you to sit back and think about what is that God wants from you. Not just about the reckless love that we sang about how God loves us immensely, but that God has a plan for us. See, because all those years back in 95, I would have never thought that I would have been here. See, I had just gotten out of the Navy, and I had lived my life like a true sailor. And those who've been around long enough know exactly what I mean. I had no intention of being a church person. I mean, I knew about church. And as a good Hispanic, I grew up in Puerto Rico as a good Hispanic, as a good Catholic kid, I did all the steps that a good Catholic kid had to do because grandma said so. And when abuela says it, that was enough. Like, boom, you did it, and that's it, right? But that was it. Then I moved to Florida during my senior year, and I get to experience this whole new life, and I'm like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And a recruiter came by the office, by the school, and said, hey, this is great. So I went to see the recruiter, and I went to see an Army recruiter because that's the guy who talked to me, and I got home. My dad had just pulled up, and he said, what were you doing? And I just came from seeing the Army recruiter, and my dad said some choice words and said, get back in the car. See, my dad was a Army, Vietnam era Army, and he was drafted. So he knew one thing. He was not letting his son join the Army or the Marine Corps, right? And it was nothing against the service. It's understanding that their mission was on the ground, and he did not want me to be to that. So he literally got me in the car, drove me to the Navy recruiter, and said, if you want to join the military, you can either join the Navy or the Air Force. And so I talked to the Navy recruiter, and I guess almost 29 years ago later, I've been wearing the Navy uniform one way or another, active or reserves, both as an enlisted and now as a Navy chaplain, because my dad said, there's no way you're joining the Army.
right? Maybe I would not be wearing the uniform anymore, right? I would have got my thing done, and I was like, yep, not going back. But all these years later. But I share this because I want you to see that our journeys are based on our past. The group Mercy Me in its song, Dear Younger Me, and if you ever heard it, some of you are shaking your head. They bring the challenge of, what will you tell the younger version of you? Do you go back and give him a hoorah pep talk, it's going to be great and you're going to achieve great things? Are you going to do great? Or is it more like, hey, when you get to this decision point in your life, don't do that, because it's going to hurt. And some of you are probably thinking right now about those moments in life that you wish you could go back and do what? Change, right? See, but Mercy Me and their song highlights that it is those experiences who make us who we are today. It is those falling on those landmines. It is those painful times, those lonely times that shape us into who we are today. Because some of us have to learn the hard way. There are some of us who have to touch the hot stove to learn what? That is hot. Some of us learn because they tell us don't do it, and we trust the person next to us telling us don't touch the hot stove, right? And some of us have kids who learn one way and the other, right? Some of you are thinking about the one time that you told the one kid don't put your finger in the socket, and they listened to you. But then the other one did what? They need to try it because it's, see what's happened, right? And then you don't know how to react, right, with the I told you so or what? Or the, it's okay. And sometimes a little bit of both. So what would you tell that younger self of you? I want us to go into this journey together about what we would tell the younger version of us. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings. And now as we open your word, I pray that you will speak through me. That you will take of me anything that can take away and impede the speaking of your word. And that you can take away from me and all of us anything that can that impede the hearing and doing of your word. That today, dear Lord, we hear your message loud and clear. And what will we say to the younger version of ourselves? Amen.
Would I warn myself about the challenges of growing up in a divorced home? Would I warn myself about making some of the decisions that led to problems and bad habits at a young age? Would I push myself to be more proactive and engaging, working harder at school to create better opportunities for myself? Would I stop younger me and reconsider my move from my home on my senior year to a new place and reconsider my enlistment in the Navy? Would I warn myself about failed relationships? Or would I go back and tell myself, hang in there, it gets better? You see, the problem of telling myself to watch out for landmines is that I also miss out on the opportunities those moments gave me. That during those challenges, there was moments that created memories that I carry today. Memories of working at our family bakery, playing sports, and enjoying time with friends that I still have today. The prophet Isaiah writes about how from the time that he was in his mother's womb, God had a plan and a calling for him. God did not predestine his steps, but was saying, if you choose me, I have a plan for you. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we were created in God's image and that we are adopted into God's family. Some of those landmines gave me scars, and those scars are painful reminders of those times I felt alone and hurt. But those landmines also showed me, even when I didn't know it, that God was in control. I was about 12 years old when I started playing soccer. For many, it was the first time ever playing the sport. I had only played Little League baseball, and in between seasons, I thought it would be a good idea to try out for soccer. My school friends were interested as well, so we showed up at the soccer field. We didn't have any fancy equipment, but we were eager to learn. I became a goalkeeper, and not knowing anything about the position or had the proper equipment, I showed up for the next practice in a pair of old Adidas sweats my dad gave me and started practicing with the goalkeeping coach. On our first game against a better team, the score finished 12-0. By the time the last goal scored, the walk to the back of the net seemed very long. I knew one thing. I did not want to do this anymore. I went back to the coach and said, "I am no longer the goalkeeper." The coach replied with, "Yes, you are." I showed up the next practice and eventually got better. What will you tell the younger you? Being in the goal game allowed me to have a whole new perspective, which helped develop some of the same strengths to use in ministry and life today. I don't know what you would say to the younger new. I do know what I would say.
It's easy when your son looks like you to do a version of the younger you.
What would we tell our younger selves? See, I grew up in a broken home, as Chris said. I did not know my mom, and I had two stepmoms. But that opportunity also gave me the opportunity to truly get to know this incredible woman, my grandmother, who raised me, who taught me about the incredible love for God. That opportunity get me to react in a different way with this other incredible woman in my life, my aunt, Ann Scholl, who taught me about the value and how I could do great things. That broken home also meant that we would leave where I was born and leave the U.S. and go to Puerto Rico and be raised in Puerto Rico. And have all these experiences like playing soccer and getting 12 goals against you. But that story, I preached it when I first got here, and I was a chaplain at the Naval Air Station. And one of my assistants heard the story and was touched by it. And the next day, next work day, she came in with this little soccer ball that I still keep as a memory of the story. Last weekend, while we were worshiping, I had the privilege of not just preaching, but then leading out as part of a leadership weekend for the Hispanic district that Pastor Caban leads. Why? Because I have this background that allows me to relate to our Spanish churches. See, the younger me wouldn't have realized, didn't know that all this craziness with my best friend, who's still my best friend today. I was at his house a lot, and his mom was like a second mom to me. But every Mother's Day, I would wonder what it'd be like to celebrate with your own mother. See, this younger me my dad decided that it was time to move, and I said, okay, I'll move on my senior year from Puerto Rico to Florida and have to completely redo it. And one of the reasons why I wear the uniform today is because I had just gotten to Florida. I had no clue about ACTs, SATs, or any of these things. I had not applied for financial aid. And so when you're in your senior year, you're a little behind the curve. And so I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew I had a dream, but I didn't know what that dream was going to look like. And so I thought a viable option to get money for college would be to join the Navy. And so I join the Navy, and I go out, and I come back to Florida. And I get back to Florida, and I started studying business because that was my other passion, and I started studying business. But what I learned is that some of those things, by sitting back and looking at the game, God was preparing me to use me to understand that this is the way I also look at my ministry. Because God gave me the ability to see the game from a different perspective. I wasn't the greatest goalkeeper, but I sure understood the game from back there. And I could sure move the pieces while I was on the field. See, sitting back there gave me a new perspective. So would I tell the younger me, yes, life sucks at times. It's going to be time. And you're going to feel lonely at times. Yes, I would. Why? Because it is these experiences that put me here today. Moving back to Florida, studying business, one of the things that it did for me is it got me, I was a hotel and restaurant management major. And so I had to work to get hours, right? And I just come out from active duty, so I had bills and I wanted to live a life, right? I was 22, so I still needed to live the life of a sailor because, well, that's all I knew at the time. And so I figured I could work it. And so I started working at this McDonald's as a manager. And it was this at McDonald's working as a manager that I met this young man who said, why don't you come to church with me? And he said it again, again, and again. And he was finally so much on my nerves that I said, fine, just leave me alone. I will go. That was July of 95. It is 2019, and I am still here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But not only that happened, not only did this young man get me to go to church, I also met this incredible young lady who worked with me, who today is my wife of 20-something years, and she don't like me telling the McDonald's story because first she came in late, which I should have known. That was going to be for the lifetime. And then the fries that she gave me were the saltiest fries I've ever had in my life. And that was our first conversation about salty fries. But 22 and a half years later, three kids, one of them in college right now, I can see God's hand to your younger me. When I was lost, when I was confused, when I didn't get it, when I didn't understand, God was still there. See, when the prophet Isaiah got this incredible message, when the prophet Jeremiah got this incredible message, unfortunately, none of these messages came with good news right away. The prophet Isaiah sees all the bad news he has to share before he sees the image of God and says, I got to go there. It is not until chapter 49 that he says, oh, I knew you and I was preparing you. Poor Jeremiah gets it up from the front, but then he says, oh, by the way, go tell the nation that it's not good. Oh, great calling. Right? But before I knew you, I had prepared you for this specific mission so that you can tell the nation that though they have failed, I am still their God and I love them. What will we tell our dear younger me? Recently, I was doing a funeral at one of our veteran cemetery here in Suffolk. As I stood there being the chaplain, the one ready to provide comfort to a grieving family who was burying a loved one, I was quickly reminded that 3 years ago it was I sitting in that chair as we were burying my dad and receiving a flag from my cousin. But what I tell the younger me that it was these experiences that prepared me for the ability to stand there and give hope to a family who was in grief. Because I knew what they were feeling. But God was not done because God is not done with us. 2 years ago in the hecticness of life, we had just come from being with the Marines. We're up here. Elisa's getting ready to graduate. So like every father who's all this is getting ready to leave the house, right? All the emotions go through, especially if it's your daughter. And Elisa was getting ready to graduate. We're talking about college. And I get a message on social media from this person that I don't know that says, you don't know me, but I think you're my brother. Your mom is so-and-so, and you have a half-brother named Fred. And so during the conversation, we started talking. So 2 years ago, the woman that I had never met for over 40 years, I met her as Elisa and I were driving down to Florida, or the family was driving down to, Tennessee to take her to Southern. Yes, dear younger me, the pain is true, but God is not gone. God has not abandoned us. God is still here to tell you that you are valuable, that you were shaped and formed in his image so that you can have the promise of one day when he comes again to sit at his table for eternity in his presence. We are not alone in this. God, the great creator, loves you. And so we put on a uniform to remind us of who we are, that God made us, and we have ministries in the church, and we socialize, and we talk. But the key of the message is that before you were born, I knew you. I love you. Before there was sin, I had a plan to redeem you because you are valuable. And you are so valuable to me, God says, that I will give my only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes may not perish, but have everlasting life. I love you. What would you tell the younger me? What would you tell the younger self? God loves you. God has a plan for you. And God is looking to redeem you. He has given you a call. What would you say to your younger self?
I'm here today to remind you that you are wonderfully and specially made. I'm here to remind you that you will have times of hurt, challenge, and frustration. But don't forget, you are made in God's image. You are not alone. When life's landmines stand in your way, when you fall, when you don't understand your parents, friends, or life, you are not alone. It is at these moments that you need to remember that God created us with a purpose. Before you were born, God knew that we could go and part the Red Sea, defeat giants, walk with Jesus, and bring the message of hope. He has called us to share with others that he loves them and to remind them that before we were born, he chose us. We are valuable because Jesus' sacrifice for us. You and I are valuable because before you were born, God's love for us said we are important and that we have a purpose. I pray that one day when we're old, like the adults, we don't have to wonder what we would tell our younger selves. And for the adults, I have a message as well.
What would we tell our younger selves? Maybe you and I who are older, maybe we would have a message. But I pray that we raise our children to not have to wonder what to tell the younger selves. That they can grow up with the confidence of knowing that the God of heavens, the Lord of lords, King of kings, has made them special. That we inspire, instill this love for God that changes and transforms. See, I should not be here today. Because earlier in my studies in my ministry, many told me that I would never make it. That my personality, my way of looking at things would never fit for the ministry. That I was definitely not qualified. And at times I've been the outsider. And I don't stand before you because I am more stubborn than anybody else. I stand before you because God just won't let me go. Because God, from before I was born, had a plan for me. And he gave me these skills, he gave me these abilities, and he gave me these talents that he said, this is what it's for. If you read the news, a young lady in New York committed suicide last week. And her note, she writes,
by all the great things that she has, but how lonely she felt. And how her life, to many from the outside, looked great, but from inside, it was falling apart. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard the same story sitting in my office. When a young 18 and 19-year-old come to my office with no hope. Chaps, I just don't have any hope. Or how many times I heard in the local church, Pastor, I just don't have hope. You and I have an incredible hope. We don't have it for anything we have done. We have it because we are created by this incredible God who endows in us this hope for life. So my dear brothers and sisters, what would you tell your younger selves? What is that one event that you would go back to change? But if you change that one event, what would you lose from who you are today? Maybe today you are still feeling the pain of something that happened in the past. Maybe the hurt that somebody did to you or something that happened in your life. Maybe today you feel the pain of a decision, of a choice, of what should have been. And I'm here to tell you that God is here to heal you and to make you anew. That God loves you so much that he's willing to take all that away to give you the hope to say, I know it hurts, but let me tell you, I got you, and I will make it better. See, there are many things I can't relate with, but I can tell you that the pains in my life, whether I knew God was in the presence or not, has shaped who I am today. Those landmines that I stepped in with both feet in, whether knowing it was a dumb decision or not, shaped who I am today. In his TED Talk, Michael Jr., the comedian, talks about how the things of the past shape us on who you are today. If you haven't read it, seen it, I would try to challenge you to go on YouTube and look at it. Because those things that shaped us in the past are going to make us to who we are today to help us to go to the future. See, I don't know the whole story of everybody here, but I do know that the God who made you loves you and that he created you for a purpose, that he has a plan for you to bring hope into a world that has no hope, to bring life to somebody who is dying inside today because of who he made you to be. So I ask for you today to accept what God has done in your life, to turn to him and say, Lord, here am I, as the prophet Isaiah said. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips standing in a group of unclean lips and group of people who have lost against you, but I will go. Isaiah was touched by God, and he was given a message. Moses didn't get it all, but his years under the tutelage of his father-in-law and out there prepared him to take what? A bunch of grumpy old people out into the wilderness from slavery to do what? To go to the place that he was promised. Abram was an old man and he said, get up and go. And he's like, okay, I'll get up and go. I don't know where I'm going, but I'll go. David was a young man. He says, I don't know many things, but I do know one thing. The God that I serve is so great that I can take down the giants. And 12 unqualified men, when they were told, come follow me, they got up, left everything behind to follow him. One thought he knew better and started walking on water until he got it on his own that he couldn't, and he sank. But even when sinking, all he had to do was reach out, and God brought him back up. And a man who was a murderer, who was a persecutor, life was changed. He was so changed that his whole name was changed. And today you and I boasted most of the New Testament because he wrote the letters. God has a plan for you, even when you think you've messed it up.
even when you think you don't get it, God has a plan for you. And God can take all those situations in your life and build them to bring hope to those who don't have hope. So my prayer today is that if you were to look back, don't give a great message. Don't make a great cheerful hurrah, it's going to get better. But if you could look back, that dear younger you, tell them today that God has you. And even through the landmines of life, he will build you up. The praise team is going to come sing Reckless Love, and I want all of us to sing it together. And Melissa, you can have your stand back. I want us to sing that because I believe that God's reckless love, and I'm doing an audible here, that God's reckless love is what changes us. That's okay. I can sing without a drum. We can sing a cappella. As long as I don't sing, we're good. That's why I married Lily, because she can sing. I don't, so we're good. If I could tell you that it's been perfect, no. 10.5 years ago when I first walked through these doors, I was burnt out, and I didn't even want to think about ministry. I had come from pastoring a church. I was excited. God was doing incredible things as a church, and we were getting ready to build it, and God was moving, and the Spirit was moving, and the people there, but their spiritual leader was burnt out. And it's funny that it was in the Navy that God kind of redeemed me and got me back. Because I showed up to a congregation of 8 different denominations to tell them that from the time that they were born, God knew them. So I tell you today, God knows you. God wants you. And his reckless love is all around you. So as they sing, I pray that today you will recognize that the message that you need to share, it's what God has done in your life. That even when you don't think he's been there, he is there. I pray that today you remember that from the time before you were born, God had a plan to you.
As we sing this song again, and we're happy to do it, by the way. This is a beautiful song. Is there any Pathfinders here that would like to join us? You don't have to lead out solo. You just want to come up and sing with us? Anybody like this song? Got a microphone right here, or you can come up with no microphone. If you'd like to, just come on up. I got to share something, Mike. I just want to respond. Thank you. Your story. I'm very touched personally. I was flying home late last night thinking about God's love, and this is like right on the money for me. And I was thinking about flying in that little metal tin can on the way home late Friday night all alone, and how the words came to me, some of the last words that were recorded of Jesus saying, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I think those were maybe the very last words, I'm not sure. And then I remembered, he's with us always, not just at the end. I'm with you always, not just at the end, which that means right now. And I need to remember that. We need to remember that. And he's prepared us for where we're going, even if we might take a different path.
So
forget that. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. George, will you stand with us as we sing? There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Stand here praising your great love for us. From before we were born, you knew us, dear Lord. You formed us. You made us in your image with a hope of one day restoring us with you. But dear Lord, there's some here who have walked a road where limelines have been aplenty. There are some here, dear God, who today feel the scars and the pains of those things they have gone on through their lives. I pray for them, dear Lord, that today your Holy Spirit will touch them and bring them healing. That today you will lift them up and remind them that they are not alone. That from the time that they were born, you had a plan for them. And that you're going to take this pain, dear Lord, and turn it for good, so that they can witness that maybe even when they didn't know it, the God of God and King of Kings was walking by their side and was lifting them up. I pray for our young ones here today that they know right now, right here, that they are not alone. That even when we as parents make mistakes, that when we as a church make mistakes, you have not left them alone. And that whatever struggles they have, whether at school, at home, or at church, whatever things is going on in their personal lives, that they know that they were made by a great and loving God, and that they have a Savior who stands by them each and every day. May they choose you because you have chosen them. For us, the adults, dear God, I pray that we no longer look back at the scars and at the regrets trying to change our path, but we may take it as a way to understand who we are today and who you want us to be.
that's the end of our service. Stick around. Talk and fellowship. Thank you for coming and being here. It was a blessing. And if you are interested in Pathfinders, find someone that looks like they know what they're talking about. There's a lot of them here. Get involved.